Okay, welcome back, everybody, to our learning at Shaarei. It's, I think, Oral Yurchas Tammuz. It's July 12th. Yeah, something like that, July 12th.
Yes.
No one could keep track of time anymore. We are learning Lilui Nishmas and Lezeicha Nishmas, Miriam Fran, Miriam Baschaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom HaNashama. So have an aliyah in the merit of our Chabur and the merit of our weekly Torah. So last week, we really had a shiur on perspectives on everyone had a meaningful class. So we're on page 61, please, of the second sefer. Okay. Let's just go back one paragraph, since we have not done this for a few weeks. Let's go to the middle paragraph. Even though we're up to a section called Advance Slowly, we have not actually learned on the sefer in a couple of weeks, so let's go back. Okay. Understandably, it will take much longer to apply this than to talk about it, to apply about there's a master of the world. Oh, I remember what we spoke about. Last week we spoke about Shiva several times. The week before, I believe we spoke about life is therapy. If I exist, there must be a creator. We have to remember this all the time, not once every half an hour. We have to remember, always, you have to live with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Understandably, it will take much longer to apply this than to talk about it. If you wish to buy a house, he's given the key. Then he needs to enter the house. He needs to settle in. I mentioned that this speaks to me very personally because we're in the midst of doing this. How long does it take to receive the key? Just a second. How long does it take to inspect the house, see what's needed, pack up your home, sort everything? Oh my gosh, let me tell you, no matter what you pack, the house is still full. I don't know how it's possible. And no matter how much I pack, the house is still full. It takes a very long time to do this, the Mechaber says. I'm going through this right now. It takes a very long time. Words are like a key, but you must take the key to the house and see how to instill the teachings. It's very easy to open the door of your house. It's not hard to open the door. You'd have a combination of your key. It takes 1 second. It takes a minute to talk about Emunah. I could talk about Emunah. I could tell you Pesukim from the Torah. I could tell you sources. Hashem is there. Hashem is there. Hashem is truly everywhere. But that's not enough. How do you instill the teachings in all the chambers of your heart? With da'as, the chambers will be filled. Chachma, bina, and da'as. Rashi actually says in Shemos 31, 3, Perek Lamed, Aleph, Pasuk, Gimel, that da'as is a measure of Ruach HaKodesh. And it's something that we daven for every day. Da'as, this kind of knowledge, is a measure of divine inspiration. Now, we don't walk around with Ruach HaKodesh. None of us walk around with, God speaking through us. But we do have moments of divine inspiration. You know, sometimes when you do something, when it's just so minas shamayim, like, how did this happen to me? It's so divinely orchestrated. It can't be on my own, obviously. You just see very obvious that Hashem is in charge. With da'as, the chambers of your mind and the chambers of your heart will be filled. If you recognize that everything is Minas Shamayim, everything is really Ruach HaKodesh, everything is divine inspiration, I am nothing on my own. Hani Macha said about herself, I didn't have how many children? 14? And he said, I didn't have 14 children. I didn't have hundreds of Shabbos guests. I didn't teach in 3 seminaries. She said, Hashem had the children. Hashem had the guests. Hashem taught. With da'as, with living, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we fill our heart and we fill our head with the knowledge of Emunah, that he really is the source of all. Okay, so new paragraph. Any questions or comments on that?
Bina, you say we're for women. Isn't that a little bit like we get a little touch? Bina
Yisera. Not Isha, Yosemi Ba'ish. So that's Bina. There's Chachma, Bina, and Das. Rashi in that Pasuk 31:3, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, because actually it's talking about Bezalel. That Bezalel, the master craftsman of the Mishkan, v'amalei oso b'chachma tuvuna udas. Chachma tuvuna das. There's 3 types of knowledge. It's very hard to translate them into English. But Rashi says chachma is what you learn from somebody else. So I say you go to school, you learn the periodic table of elements. So now you know K and A is the sodium potassium pump. I didn't have any intuition. I did not have any divine inspiration. The professor in college said K and A is the sodium potassium pump. That's the sodium potassium pump. I think, right? I still remember. I think it is. That's chachma, something that you learn from someone else, says Rashi. Then tuvuna, which you just mentioned about bina, Rashi says, mevin davar belibo mitoch dvarim shalamad. You understand what we call intuition. You infer, you inference. A woman has intuition. She understands things from things that she learned. And that's why the Gemara says, that we have Maseches Nida, 45, I could be wrong, bina yisera nasna le'isha yoser mibi'ish. A woman has an extra measure of intuition. My mother says, give a 12-year-old boy a baby and give a 12-year-old girl a baby and see the difference. Now, yes, you could bring me your list of exceptions to the rule. I'm not talking about that. I have a niece at 2.5. She walks around holding her doll on her hip like a grown-up holds a baby. It's an unbelievable thing. I can't believe when I say it. Bina yaseira nasna le'isha yoser mebi'ish. A woman is an extra measure of intuition. And finally, das. And there, das, she says das is ruach hakodesh. So, especially as women, we should use these three channels or three faculties or three sources or three kochos, strengths of wisdom, to internalize that we are living with Hashem all the time. I mentioned that we started on time, but I walked in 5 minutes after when I usually walk in. I was asked to give a 10-minute shiur in a certain place in Woodmere first. Oh, so I realized that I'm going to get here in start time, not when I like to walk in. So I said, Hashem, please let the light change. Please let the light change. I was surprisingly very calm. I'm never late. This is my first time in 3 years that I'm late, and I wasn't even late for the start time. It was just late for the actual time, but we always start at 8:35. I was so calm, because I knew I couldn't change it, and it's up to Hashem, and there's nothing I could do to make the lights go faster. So at every moment in our life, welcome. At every moment in our life, we have to try and channel these three measures of wisdom and intellect to the knowledge of Hashem, and with da'as, the chambers will be filled. We could say with chachma, what we learn from others, with da'as, our intuition, and finally with bina, our measure of inspiration, we fill our chambers. Any other questions or comments? Don't get up. I'm just telling you. Is anyone else warm?
Yeah, I'm very warm.
It's always warm.
She's not, because her office. Okay. Is there a way to make it a little cooler in here?
No, I said don't get up.
I know. I put this in the freezer. It's really, really
cold. Advance slowly. I feel bad for everyone else, though. So. Okay, ladies, let's go. Advance slowly. I said don't get up. Shouldn't have said anything.
You know, Michal, intuition, just a comment that I wanted to make.
Please.
I think that somebody wrote a book about intuition and just being able to protect yourself. And this person's premise in the book is not religious, it's a secular piece of literature, but this person says that we worship logic so much that we discount intuition. And of course you need to be logical, but that it's like intuition is just tossed off to the side, that people ignore that sixth sense, and it's not logical, not logical.
That's very interesting, because I don't think that's the outlook of Yahadus. We can't worship intellect so much that we forget about that passionate, intuitive, bina side of ourselves. I have a friend who went to ask a shayla of one of the gadolim in Eretz Yisrael with her husband, and the gadol looked right at her, I don't know what the shayla was, and he said to her, I see you have good intuition, trust yourself. I don't know what the matter was, but I know who the friend was. Trust yourself in this matter. So I don't, listen, we're not talking about heebie-jeebie things, and we're not talking about the angels coming to me in dreams in the middle of the night, but we do have a certain level of this bina intuition, and we do have to know how to channel it. There is an inherent problem, continuing on, advance slowly. There's an inherent, bottom of page 61 for those who just came in. There's an inherent problem with the way I'm presenting these teachings. This is very funny to me. I am moving at a fairly fast pace. I told the woman at the previous shiur, I said, I have to be out of here on time. I have a shiur. I said, 3 years, we're learning the same sefer. I said, we're slowly making progress. He says he's moving at a fairly fast pace. Thank you, Esther. Because I want to give you a sense of the bigger picture. However, it will take a long time to put all this into action. And that's what we're really lacking. We're really lacking the bigger picture. They give a mashal about somebody looking through the peephole in a surgical room. I believe Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein brings it down in his Alinu L'Shabeach. So if you're only looking through the peephole into the surgical room, and you hear the doctor say, nurse, give me the scalpel, and the nurse gives the scalpel, and the doctor starts cutting. So the person who's witnessing this is going to start screaming. You're cutting up the patient. What are you doing? Because he only has such a narrow vision. You don't see the big picture. You need to have a sense of what the bigger picture is, but it's so hard for us. Why is life often so painful and so we perceive so many tzaras and it's so difficult for us? Because all we're seeing is the cutting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the big picture, and he's running the OR, so to speak, and he knows everything that's going on, but we don't. But the Mechaber says, through emunah, you have a sense of the bigger picture. Through emunah peshuta, through belief in the Ribono Shel'olam, you have a sense of the bigger picture that I'm looking through a teeny people I can't understand. However, it will take a long time to put all of this into action. How long? Not 3 years. Your whole life. While you are working on a specific area, you must review the relevant material again and again to the extent possible. This is needed in order to keep the topic alive in your heart and to make it clear. And for those who did not hear, I'm not going to give the whole shiur again. You can go into YU Torah. It's under this series called Life is Therapy. I do recommend it. But what we said is that if you do therapy with a cochlear implant child, if you have, you should never know, but whatever. Your whole life is therapy. It's not like a moment of emuna every half an hour. Your whole life. I gave examples at the time. Your whole life is therapy. You need to review the relevant material again and again and again and again. Keep the topic alive in your heart. Make it clear. That's how your relationship with God has to be. It has to be all the time. Listen, sometimes you could be having a bad moment and you could feel frustrated and you could feel aggravated and you could feel on edge. Still talk to God. I still remember years ago, I heard Rav Weinberger from Eish Kodesh, and this goes back years ago, say in a shir, his mother used to say before she did something, forgive me God, forgive me for Hashem for what I'm about to do, and then let's say she would give the kid a patch. I don't know if that's what it was. I don't even remember the example, but I do remember that she would say, forgive me Hashem. In other words, even in the difficult times of your nisayon and struggling, say, Hashem, are you with me? Hashem, where are you? Let me see you. Let me feel you. Again and again. So I saw a very nice insight on this week's parsha, actually, that relates to this ha'ara. What does tamid mean? We for sure talked about it here. Who remembers what tamid means?
Tamid.
Karban tamid, shivisi Hashem lenagdi tamid. We discussed it here.
Constant,
which is always, and... Okay, so we're going to review it again. Consistent.
Oh, right.
Ah, now you remember, Baruch Hashem. Okay. I came in from a fasuk. My brother told me this lesson 3 Pesachs ago. I came in from a fasuk in Toronto. It was very chaotic, Baruch Hashem, with good things, a lot of grandkids in the house, a lot of food to prepare. I went for fasuk one morning. When I came back early, my brother was going out to shul, and I was coming in from the fasuk, and my brother said to me, so my conversations with my brother, usually he's teaching me Divrei Torah or guiding me, what does tamid mean? So he said, tamid means always. So he says, Micha, tamid means always and consistent. He was saying it because I went for a fast walk despite the chaos. You have to be consistent in your avodah. What does it mean, Shuvisi Hashem, Lenegdi Tamid, Lenegdi Samid, Perek Tazayin of Tilm, chapter 16? What does it mean, God is before me, not only always, but consistently before me always? That when the ups and the downs and the high times and the low times, I am consistently with the Ribbono Shel Olam. He is consistently before me. I'm not wishy-washy. Sometimes I'm with God, sometimes I'm not with God. You're always with God, and you're consistently an Eved Hashem. So in this week's Parsha, 1 second, please, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam, Shal Kol Nehi Abedvaro.
Amen.
It's called. Thank you. In this week's Parsha, in Perek Chav Ches Pasuk Vav, this week's parasha talks about the korbanos that you bring on Rosh Chodesh, on the Yamim Tovim, on Shabbos, and the Korban Tamid. The Korban Tamid is a daily offering. So now we understand, what is Korban Tamid? How do we know Korban Tamid doesn't only mean always? Were they offering the Korban Tamid always, like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or were they offering the Korban Tamid consistently? They were offering it. Did they light the menorah in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash, every 24 hours it was lit? No, it was lit from evening till morning, consistent. Lahalos ner tamid. Okay. The Pasuk says in this week's parasha, which is Pinchas. I put on airplane mode. Why are messages coming in? Olas tamid. I hope it's not going to ruin the recording. That's so bizarre. Olas tamid. Ha'asuya bahar Sinai. L'reach nicholach. Isha Lashem, an olat tamid, a tamid offering. I'm not translating tamid because we've already translated it. That was done on Har Sinai. Areach nicholach. We spoke about that also a few weeks ago. No, that was a different class. A pleasing fragrance before Hashem. The pasuk says in regard to the korban tamid, like was done on Har Sinai, every day of the year. On Shabbos, on Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah to bring the Korban Tamid, because you always bring it and you consistently bring it. Once in the morning, and the second time in the afternoon. The Torah says, I'm quoting from Rabbi Fran, by the way, the Torah describes the laws that apply to the Korban Tamid, and the Torah says, Ha'asuya Bahar Sinai. Isn't that a strange thing to say? that was made at Har Sinai? What additional information about the Karban Tamid are we learning from the Pasuk saying it was brought like it was on Har Sinai? First of all the mitzvahs were given to us on Har Sinai. That's first of all. Second of all, if you want me to bring the Karban Tamid once in the morning, once in the evening, every single day consistently, so tell me, so why do you need to put in a throwback to what? Har Sinai. What does Har Sinai have to do with anything? So Rabbi Frank quotes Chazal, and he says that the Gemara offers various opinions in regard to why in Maseches Chagiga. But he quotes an answer from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. The sages are addressing in the Gemara the halachic implications of associating with the Karban Tamid with Har Sinai. But Rabbi Yisrael Salanter brings out a philosophical point in regard to Karban Tamid and the juxtaposition of the reference to Har Sinai. So Rabbi Fran writes, now he's talking to men, but think of something else for yourself. Think back to the first time you put on tefillin. It took you a long time. I know, I was trying to think when I was preparing. I don't remember the first time I took challah, though. So, but think back to the first time you did a special or exciting mitzvah. It took you a long time. You pulled the tefillin from the bag. You carefully unwrapped the straps. You enunciated the bracha slowly around your arm. You thought of a good example?
Now I was thinking about my son. You're so
adorable. About what?
The boys, when they first put it on for the first time, oh my goodness, it's like major. Isn't there, they really want to center it properly, put it on, and you know, it does take time.
Right, so I was trying to think of what's
the first time you put on, if you wear a wig, you put
that's
it on.
That's what I was thinking.
I don't know if it's all the first time or the first time you light a shot.
It's
not excitement and inspiration, it's fear and
presence. I don't remember.
The first time you light shot is candles.
The first time you lit Shabbos candles, okay, that's a good one. The first time you lit Shabbos, I actually do remember. Okay.
We're adding the candle for each child.
Say it again.
Adding the candle.
Okay, very nice. Adding a light. Okay, very, very nice. Okay. So put in your own example here, okay? You make the bracha slowly, carefully. You savor the experience, each word. You wound it slowly around your arm, lovingly every turn. But for most people, things change with time. Eventually, they come running into shul late. They put on their tefillin without thinking. Before you know it, they're caught up with the people who came on time. Everybody's up to Shema at the same time. When something is done day in and day out, tamid, on the one hand, it's always inconsistent. I'm adding that in. On the other hand, excuse me, Rabbi Francis, as wonderful as it may be, eventually it becomes mitzvahs anashim melumda. That's exactly the word he uses. Eventually it is done by rote. It becomes stale, automatic, without thought, because the thrill of that first time you do the mitzvah is gone. So what does it have to do with the Karban Tamid and Har Sinai? This is the pitfall of the daily offering, the Karban Tamid, the sacrifice brought every day, day in, day out, morning, you don't even get Shabbos off. You don't even get Yom Kippur off. I mean, every day of the year. As long as the Beis HaMikdash and as long as the Mishkan, not in that order, were standing, they brought the Karban Tamid. After a while, there's a risk. The novelty will wear off. The enthusiasm you had when you first brought that Karban Tamid will disappear. It's just something we do every day. The excitement will fade. It will be brought mechanically, without feeling and without inspiration. Therefore, the Torah reminds us, bring the daily sacrifice, the Karban Tamid, like the one you made on Har Sinai. What is the Torah telling me? Remember how it felt when you first got the mitzvah? Remember how exciting it was when it was your first time, when your heart, Retz Rabbi Fan, was beating fast, when your breath caught with each excitement. That's what you should do every day. Reach for the inspiration. It can be done. So, of course, the message is not only, I thought it was very powerful and especially relevant to life, but especially relevant to our learning, where the Mechaber says you have to make this part of your life. But sometimes when you make things part of your life, you can become bored of it. It loses the excitement. If you want it to be a pleasing, savory fragrance before God, make sure you offer like it was offered on Har Sinai. What did you want to say?
Well, I just have to smile because I never in a million years thought this would happen. But when I started reciting Moda Ani, there got to be a point where I was reading it really fast and I said, when did this happen that I'm going like this? Like I'm zooming, like what am I, a race car driver? And it's not boring at all, but this is not supposed
Isn't
to be
amazing?
Quick. I'm not supposed to be zooming.
It's such a real example of what we're talking about. It's so, but it's not just you, it's everybody with our own inyanim. Very powerful. You know, we had a Friday night company a few weeks ago, and one of the people at the table was an individual who lives in a group home. So when it came time for Berkas HaMazon, so on Shabbos we bench aloud at the table the family, so this woman was there with us. And the way she benched, Berkas HaMazon, her benching, she enunciated every word so clearly, with such gusto. It meant so much to her. And after the guests left, I said to the kids, we all need to take a Musar Haska. We bench day in and day out. Shabbos in, Shabbos out. Some of these kids say, do we have to bench together? But on Shabbos, we bench together. But how much kavana do we have when we say all those words of benching? I can't describe. It was an adult group home, obviously a high-functioning individual. How her Birkas HaMazon was, and I said to the kids, we should all take a lesson from her, from the way she benches, really something to learn. It becomes exactly like Nancy said, whether it's Moda Ani, or whether it's putting on the tefillin for a man, or whether it's lighting Shabbos candles, and you're rushed, and when's the Zman, and this one needs that, and that one needs this. We have to hold on to the feeling of Tamid, but not just Tamid, always inconsistent, but how it was at Har Sinai. What does that mean? The first time you got the mitzvah, the beginning of your marriage with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what Har Sinai is. How did you feel when you were first married to God? How do you feel? Do you still have that excitement in your life? Or has it become, okay, I do it again by rote? So it's very, very relevant. And when it comes to reviewing the relevant material again and again, to the extent possible, we always have to make sure that it is exciting to us. To keep the topic alive, I'm on the last line of page 61, to keep the topic alive in our heart, not just in our heart, but alive, yes, in our heart. Like Nancy said so beautifully and so relevantly, something we could all relate to. When did my Moda Ani become like this? And to make it clear, someone just said to me, it's so interesting, someone just said to me on Monday, I was at a certain place, and I had used the restroom, and then I came out, she said to me after, you know, do you sometimes forget if you said Asher Yatzer or not? And that's really what we're talking about, the bracha that you make when you come out of the bathroom. She said, do you ever forget if you say Asher Yatzer? So I said, the truth is with Asher Yatzer, I learned from Esther Goodman, who quoted Rebbetzin Heller, that Asher Yatzer, you remember?
Yes, because unfortunately I think about it every time I say it as walking, and I'm like.
And so Esther Goodman taught me, in the name of Rebbetzin Heller, that Asher Yatzar is not Tfilas HaDerech. Mm-hmm. Asher Yatzar is not the prayer for travelers. What does it mean? Stand in place. Don't walk. Have kavana for that bracha. So I said to her, it happens to be, Al Tivtech Palasatan, that I try very hard for Asher Yatzar. I generally don't forget. I'm not saying there are upteenth amount of brachas I make the rest of the day that I'm not sure if I said or not said, but dafka with Asher Yatzar, I try, since Esther taught me that, to just stand in place. So what you find is it helps enhance the focus and the meaning and the kavanah if you pay attention, if you look in the bench, or if you try and focus on the words. Yeah, if you're doing 100 other things, it's very easy to forget that God is right here and who you're talking to. Wow.
No, She's agreeing.
It's very powerful. So I said to this woman, in regard to Asher Yatzer, it's something that I try very hard. Stop. It's true with all brachos, but top of page 62. One who wishes to rush and advance very quickly is building a castle in the air, which will have no permanence. And we can say that if a person needs to lose 200 pounds, first they need to lose 10 pounds. You can't lose 200 pounds. You have to start somewhere. One who wishes to rush and advance very quickly is building a castle in the air, which will have no permanence. Sometimes you have that rush. You take too many kabbalas, too many promises upon yourself, too many things that you're going to fix all at one time, so there's no permanence there. It's going to look very nice, but it's not going to last. Go ahead.
Who followed me home? it just makes me laugh, because I'll get into, like, very, I'll say, I'm doing X, Y, and Z, and I'm doing it yesterday, and then I get very aggravated.
So I think Nancy really speaks for all of us. We all take upon things that we want to improve, that we want to change. But if we don't, if we rush and we advance so quickly without thought, with just too many, it's not going to work. There's noise outside. Okay. Thank you. When one develops a quality in a solid and healthy fashion, everything built on it will also be solid. So sure, we all want to advance. We all want to reach the summit of Mount Everest, but you got to start a base camp. And you have to go up to the first, you know, camp A before you get up to camp B. But your reaction might be, I already know there's a creator, me and God, we're already friends, I know. Why do I need to spend 3 weeks on this? It's a wait, we should cross the weeks, all right, years. It's a waste of time, chas v'sham. I want to progress. I was hoping to learn some practical advice, coming close to Hashem so I could achieve dveikus, cling to God quickly. Such an attitude is a guaranteed formula for failure. Anyone who has tried to take upon anything themselves in life, whether it's in the physical realm, whether it's in the spiritual realm, knows that it's impossible to advance quickly. Even think about why do doctors spend so long in school? Years and years and years of life. Why can't they just go in and come out and they know everything that they have to know? Tzavut Avodas Hashem is Avodah, to serve God, to be a servant. It's a hard work. It's work. Although Zrizus, Zrizus is alacrity, is a holy quality. Pizizus, by the way, I never heard of the word pizizus until No, you're saying also. Okay. Pizizus, haste, is not. Rav Moshe Tversky, Hashem Yukam Damo, has a great line. He would say, what does Zrizus mean? Rav Moshe Tversky, one of the Harnov Kedoshim, Hashem Yukam Damo. So what does Zrizus mean? It means alacrity. It doesn't mean rushing. He said, if you're rushing, you're probably late.
And he's not putting off something that you could do today. Like what? I tell the kids, Zrizus L'mitzvah is not putting it off what you could do today for tomorrow. If you know you have to do a chesed for someone, I'll do it tomorrow. I have more time tomorrow.
If you have what for someone?
If you want to do a chesed for someone, Zrizus is to do it at the moment. In other words, not fast. To me, Zrizus means more like, don't put off what you could do today.
Oh, you're defining Zrizus, yes. Right, it doesn't necessarily mean fast, but it means grab the opportunity in the moment.
And I
you have a question?
And then I end up doing it.
You could ask, you have a question? No? Okay. They don't want to say it then. You could say. Okay, fine. So Zrizus, correct. So Rav Moshe Tversky would say, Zrizus doesn't mean rushing. It's such a good line because I think of it a lot when I am rushing. Zrizus doesn't mean rushing. If you're rushing, you're probably late. That's not what it means to have Zrizus in your Avodas Hashem. A much better definition is alacrity, but what does it mean? Grab the opportunity in the moment. And that's how we should view all of our Avodas Hashem. If you could do it now, do it now. Don't wait. Don't do it tomorrow. Don't do it in an hour. What's going to happen? Either you're going to forget, or someone else is going to do the mitzvah, or the opportunity will no longer present itself. So if you have the opportunity, then try and grab onto it right now. Haste, therefore, is not Zrizus. Remember, Rav Tversky said, if you're rushing, you're late. That's not Zrizus. I'm talking to myself. Haste prevents a person from developing the trait of patience. It's very profound. Think of the times in life when you're rushing. Maybe you never rush. I'm not being facetious, I'm being serious. But to me, this speaks very strongly. Haste, or rushing, prevents you from developing the trait of patience. Why? Because what happens when you're rushing? You need everyone around you to go faster. You need the lights to change quicker. You need the car in front of you to drive faster. You need to move quickly. The cashier is bagging so slowly. Why? Because why?
No one's cooperating.
Ah, very good. I'm going to repeat it. Somehow, when you're rushing, nobody is cooperating with you. But really, that's your perception from your place of haste. Very well said. So therefore, it's a powerful line. Haste prevents a person from developing the trait of patience. You can't be patient because somebody's in your way and this one's not listening. I need to get out the door and could you help me to the car? And why are you blocking me in the driveway? She starts in 10 minutes and I'm still in the house. So I don't have patience for anybody or anything. It's unbelievable. I just read something, geschmack. I just told it to one of my kids, because Kanayin are the older two. When they start to get older, they don't exactly have early bedtime. It's one thing. I don't have early bedtime, but I feel like children still need whatever. I just read something, but I can't remember where I read it, but I think it might be the Chafetz Chaim. You're not going to be held accountable in the Olam HaMS, in the eternal world of truth, for sleeping in the morning. You're going to be held accountable for going to bed late at night. Because you're not planning ahead for your next day. If you go to sleep at 1 o'clock in the morning, then when the alarm goes off at 6:30, you're going to be exhausted. Then you can't get out of bed. Then you're going to push snooze. But the question is, why did you push snooze? I push snooze because I'm so tired. But what was the real problem? I went to sleep too late, and it causes. Then you get up too late, and it causes the whole morning to be rushed. What happens when you're rushed? Everyone else around you is also rushed. My daughter says two things make me stressed out: Erev Shabbos and packing. So you can imagine what happens if I have to pack to go somewhere on Erev Shabbos. So since you told me that a few months ago, when I have to pack, I try very hard to stay calm. What happens when I'm rushing? Everyone else around me senses that, and then I lack patience. It's a brilliant line. Haste prevents a person from developing the trait of patience. It doesn't say from having patience. You can't even develop your patience if you live a rushed lifestyle. There's no room to develop it. It deprives them of the simple understanding. Look at this. Our efforts in this world are like planting a seed in earth. It can take half a year until a plant sprouts. What do you need if you're a farmer or like us, you have tomatoes growing in your backyard? You need patience. You think you're going to put the plant in the soil. What did you say? What did you say?
Fertilizer.
Say it again.
Fertilizer.
Not that too. Actually, we just have soil and water.
Okay. Use milk. That's crazy, but water with milk. Pour some milk on your
Why did you
pour some milk on your vegetables?
It works.
Milk?
Yeah, it's really weird, but it works.
I should pour milk. We're growing tomatoes and zucchini. The tomatoes, we already picked some. The kids are so excited. They're organic. 1 second. Zucchini. But does it make it milchik?
We haven't asked a child because I did it at work and everyone there is not Jewish.
You what? You're not sure?
I do it at work, so no one else is frugal, so I just don't eat those. But yeah,
I wonder if it makes a milchik. If you pour milk on the tomatoes, could you eat it with basar?
But you're not pouring on the tomatoes.
I don't know. We're going to stick with sun and water. Okay, ladies, let's go. Okay, never heard that. Are you looking it up? Esther will let us know. She's looking it up. Ladies, okay, so I'm going back to the pre-fertilizer comment. What do you need when you're growing tomatoes and zucchini in the backyard? A lot of patience. You need to wait. You go out, you buy the little sapling or the seeds, you plant them, you have to water every day, it has to be sunny every day, you have to pull out the weeds. It's interesting, everything's talking about the moving, the planting, the rushing. It's like talking about me. You said, did he follow you home? It's talking about me. It can take half a year till a plant sprouts. Likewise, a tree cannot be enjoyed until the fifth year because of the laws of Arla and Netaravi. Arla is the third year, Netaravi the fourth year. So even once it starts to grow, I'm talking here about it's actually not only in Eretz Yisrael. I know this because my son planted lemon seeds with my father-in-law. It applies here also. You're not allowed to have the fruit of the tree until after the third year. That is to say, where am I? Are you asking where I am?
No, I never heard the term Netta Revai, first time.
Oh, I don't know the halachos, I can't say anything. Let's go, ladies. That is to say, a person invests days, weeks, and months in the tree until the 3 years are complete, and he still cannot benefit from even a single fruit. So what's interesting is that the halacha is built. Halachos are built around patience. It's very interesting when you think about it. When do you start growing the wheat for Shmur and Matzah? Well, not on Pesach. They have to plant it the year before. The very halachos of our life. I never thought of that. Teach us patience. Teach us to be with zrizus, but not with pizizus. To have alacrity, but not haste. Even think of the relationship between a husband and a wife. They have to learn how to have patience when we are counting spheres to Omer, another count of 7 times 7. We have to learn to have patience before you get to Mamad Har Sinai when you're counting spheres. Everything about the Jewish calendar year is based on patience. Did you find it?
There are a number of different liquids that are good. Carbonated water, coffee, so milk is one of them.
In other words, can you pour milk? She was looking up if you could pour milk on plants. One thing is it says seltzer. That would keep it powerful. It
has iced tea, vinegar, orange juice.
Orange juice?
Ouch.
All right, so now I'm going to quote from the Malach in our midst, Rav Moshe Tversky, Hashem Yikom Damo, okay, who I quoted before outside. Now I'm going to quote something inside. So this is a Talmud relating the following story. We're talking about dedication over a lifetime and being willing to have the patience to wait. I was sitting right opposite Rebbe at the Purim Seuda one year. On many occasions of being a guest in the Tversky home, I always noticed Rebbetzin Tversky's culinary abilities were simply splendid. The Rebbetzin was a good cook. This Purim was no exception. The Rebbetzin did not disappoint. When the main course was served, the Rebbetzin, in my mind, had outdone herself this year. I expressed my enjoyment to Rebbe. Please bear in mind, he writes in brackets, I was not sober, because he's embarrassed about the story. I expressed my enjoyment. Wow, I said to Rebbe. This was a Gaon of Gaonim, a Malach, literally amongst men. What did he say to Rebbe? This food is so good, said the Talmud. If Rebbe lived close to Yeshiva, I would come every Shabbos. Rebbe's eyes widened. For the food? I felt completely silent. I experienced an urgent need for the ground to open up and swallow me, just like by Korach. I kid you not. Why? Because he's told Rebbe, why would he come to be with Rebbe every Shabbos? Because Rebbe makes good food. So Rebbe said, you're going to come to your Rebbe for the food? Noticing my intense shame, his eyes widened even more. He immediately followed his initial comment with the following emphatic and insistent comment. It's not your fault. It's because you don't have a real Rebbe. Rav Moshe Tversky was saying about himself, I had real Rebbeim. I would be willing to walk for 10 hours to spend time with my Rebbeim. So we're talking about patience. Things don't happen quickly. You have to be willing to invest. You have to be willing to walk. You have to be willing to wait. You have to be willing to hope. Of course, Rebbe was trying to make me feel better. It didn't work. There was not one single Talmud who didn't consider Rav Tversky the quintessential embodiment of the ideal Rebbe, of a Malach Hashem. So when I heard from my very Rebbe that he would be willing to exert himself to be in the proximity of his Rebbe, I was now not feeling any better about myself. Rav Tversky was trying to make him feel better by saying, you don't have a real Rebbe. I had a real Rebbe. I walked 10 hours. But the Bacher, of course, realized, of course he had a real Rebbe. So now he felt even worse. With no other answer, I meekly said, really? The question was as much out of genuine disbelief as a feeble attempt at defensiveness. I could not fathom that my Rebbe would be willing to spend 10 hours to walk to hear one shir of his Rebbeim. Yes, said Rav Tversky, absolutely. At that point, I was getting desperate. So I almost said pleadingly, but Rebbe can think in learning while he's walking. I can't. It was my final pitiful attempt to achieve self-exoneration. It was no use. Rebbe retorted with a strong wave of the hand. Even if my mind would be completely blank, said Rav Tversky, I would still be willing to walk 10 hours to be with my Rebbe. So 10 hours. So when we want things to happen quickly and overnight and fast and with pizzizos, we have to know Avodas Hashem does not work like that. Not to be with your Rebbe, not to grow the fruit, not to enjoy Hashem's world, not for a man and a woman, a husband and wife, I'm sorry, to be together, not for us to get from Pesach to Shavuos, we need time, not for the wheat to grow, for Shmura Matzah, not for the Esrog to grow, everything takes time. Okay, questions or comments? Nothing? Okay. But in fact, this is how building, planting, and growing works. Results are never instant. You know, we're packing now, so everyone says, okay, so you're going to spend all these months packing, and then you know what happens? You have to spend all those months unpacking. Results are not instant in life. They're pasha, not instant. The process takes years from the time of planting, but after the fourth year, you have good, ripe fruits that you can properly enjoy. So when I was preparing, I brought to mind... We have a few more minutes. When I was preparing, I brought to mind of I brought to mind the first kapitel of Tehillim. Because what does the first kapitel of Tehillim talk about? That a tzaddik who doesn't walk in the way of the rasha, the rasha is the sinner, the chota, or the late, the mock, or the sinner, will be like a, no, remember this? Bahaya ka'e shasol. He'll be like a tree, a planted tree, al palge mayim, a tree planted by the brook of water, a shapirio yitain beito. He gives fruit in its time. Va'aleu lo yibol, his leaves do not wither. V'chal asher yasa latzliach. If you're like a tree, everything you do will be successful. But when you think about it, how long does it take for a tree to grow, to be planted by the brook, for the branches, for the leaves, for the fruit to give in its time? That's the tzaddik. It's such a beautiful analogy to a tree. We usually think it means that the tree is strong. It has roots. It grows up. Just like us. We set down roots. We grow up to Hashem. We give fruit. But what's another thing that we're understanding here? What does it mean to be like a tree? To have patience, to wait. Hashem Shafal Hirsch says, Asher Piru Yitim Be'ito, its fruit will be given in its time. As opposed to the lifestyles of the Rishaim, the wicked ones, and the sinners, which is a result of their passion and levity. What does levity mean? Their lightness? Their lightheadedness, yeah? Which is a result of their passion and levity. The human being who gets nourishment for his thinking and striving in Torah will give fruit in its season. Our striving, our thoughts, our dveikus. We have to be like the tree by the water. What's the water? In Mayim Allah? Torah. Water is a metaphor for Torah. Then we will give fruit in its season. This tzaddik does everything the Torah commands of him and does nothing that has not grown and matured under the purifying and ennobling influence of God's Torah. The tzaddik has, I'm going to repeat it, does everything the Torah demands and commands of him and does not do anything that is not grown and matured under the purifying and ennobling influence of God's Torah. Therefore, his leaf does not wither. He is a thriving, growing tree. So we have to know. You know, we have to be like the tree. We always talk about the strong tree that gives fruits, but there's another element to the tree. It takes a long time. Yes?
And if you pick a fruit that's not ready, and it doesn't taste good.
Mm. Very nice.
You don't have the patience.
Beautiful.
So it is also, if you want it to be sweet, you have to have the patience to let it grow completely.
Very, very nice.
So it's ripe.
That is beautiful. Beautiful ha'ara and addendum. And it's true. So last week, the kids picked a green tomato because they were so excited to finally see something come up. They bought little plants, you know. They didn't buy seeds. Plants that were just little and leaves. And so they were so excited to finally see that there was something there. But that's a very nice ha'ara. If you pick it before it's time, someone over there, what did you say?
I said if you leave the green tomato by the sunny window, it's going to ripen.
If you pick it before it's time, it's not going to be ready. It's not going to be good. And that's who we are if we rush ourselves, if we try and do things before the right time. It will have that bitter quality because it hasn't come to fruition. Pun is intended. Yes?
No, it's very... That is becoming crystal clear to me. Because unfortunately, patience is not... Again, it's not one of my strong suits. And as I get older, I have to learn to be patient.
We all, no matter the age, have to learn to be patient. We will finish here because I think our time is up. Does anyone have any other questions or comments? Okay, so I don't want to start a whole new paragraph. So, Be'ezras Hashem, we will continue next week. Thank you, ladies. Have a wonderful week.